From NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. As the G8 summit gets underway at Camp David, President Obama is pushing his European counterparts to move away from a focus on austerity and toward pro-growth strategies to tackle the Eurozone's debt crisis. He made the comments after holding his first meeting today with French President François Hollande.
President Hollande and I agree that this is an issue of extraordinary importance not only to the people of Europe, but also to the world economy.
The two leaders also discussed Afghanistan. Hollande informed Mr. Obama he's keeping a campaign promise to withdraw French combat troops by the end of this year, but said France will support coalition efforts in a different way. Afghanistan will also be high on the agenda at this weekend's NATO summit in Chicago. And to coincide with the weekend's two summits, hundreds of demonstrators marched through the streets of downtown Chicago today. NPR's David Shaper reports they tied up traffic but remained mostly peaceful.
After about 3,000 people rallied in Daley Plaza, downtown Chicago, at a protest event organized by a nurses' union, a few hundred people from other groups took to Chicago's streets.
This is what democracy looks like!
Some headed to the financial district, where Occupy protesters have been camped out for months. Others headed to iconic Michigan Avenue. A heavy Chicago police presence allowed the marchers to pretty much go wherever they wanted, until they tried to cross the Michigan Avenue Bridge over the Chicago River. At least two protesters were arrested. Police are gearing up for more such demonstrations over the next few days. The largest planned rally is set for Sunday, the day the NATO summit begins. David Shaper, NPR News, Chicago.
Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney took his campaign to Hillsborough, New Hampshire today. New Hampshire Public Radio's Josh Rogers reports Romney seized the opportunity to criticize President Obama's stimulus spending.
Standing before part of a 19th century bridge preserved with money from the 2009 economic stimulus, Mitt Romney revived a metaphor from the 2008 presidential campaign.
This is the absolute bridge to nowhere, if there ever was one. That's your stimulus dollars at work. A bridge that goes nowhere.
$150,000 in federal aid was used to restore the Stone Arch Bridge, which is considered a landmark, but which no longer fully spans the Contoocook River. Local officials say they plan to turn the bridge and adjacent riverbank into a public park. For NPR News, I'm Josh Rogers in Concord, New Hampshire.
37 states saw a drop in jobless rates last month. The Labor Department reports unemployment rose in five states. The government says employers added 1 million jobs over the past 5 months, but the pace of hiring slowed in March and April. Nevada had the highest unemployment rate at 11.7%. North Dakota's was the lowest at 3%. On Wall Street, the Dow fell 73, the Nasdaq lost 34. This is NPR. Jury deliberations in the trial of former Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards resume Monday. Jurors met for about 5 hours today. They're tasked with determining whether Edwards broke campaign finance laws. If you're a baby boomer, the federal government proposes you get tested for hepatitis C. The virus kills 15,000 Americans every year, but if it's caught early, it's treatable. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says 2 million people born between 1945 and the mid-60s are infected with the virus. Most don't know they have it, but it's a leading cause of liver disease. A woman whose plight as a young girl changed the future for thousands of disabled children died this morning. Katie Beckett was 34 years old. As NPR's Joseph Shapiro tells us, Beckett inspired major changes in federal health care law.
Katie Beckett died in the same hospital where she'd been forced to live for the first 3 years of her life. When she was just 5 months old, she contracted a brain infection. She needed a ventilator to breathe. There was a catch. Medicaid, the state and federal health insurance program, would pay for her care, but only if she lived in the hospital. But in 1981, President Ronald Reagan heard about her plight, and he changed the Medicaid rules. In the years since, more than 500,000 disabled children have gotten their care at home, using what's now known as the Katie Beckett waiver. Even though she still used the ventilator, Beckett lived a pretty normal life. She had her own apartment, but she'd been in and out of the hospital over the last month with digestive problems. Joseph Shapiro, NPR News.
And I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News in Washington.